Hello, everyone. Welcome to Truth Talks with Dr. Ann. Because this is our first episode, I want to begin with my own qualifications because that will help you understand why I'm in this battle for our children. I have a doctorate of philosophy and professional counseling, and I spent 25 years helping people therapeutically who had, they were adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse. So my area of expertise is in trauma, and I really have studied a lot in the area of sexual abuse. Along with that, my doctorate is also inclusive of theology as well as psychology. So right through my education, I have studied theology. And so I also am an ordained pastor. I have a heart for children. I have a heart for teaching children good things that are going to impact their life. I have a heart for children because I'm a wife, a mother of six, a grandmother of 12, and most recently, a great-grandmother. I have to shake my head and think about that for a minute. But I really, really encourage you to walk this journey with me on Truth Talks, because my passion is bringing truth into the darkness. We live in a very dark world that really is quite full of evil these days. And so I want to be able to help pull back that veil of darkness and expose truth wherever I can. So that's my purpose with Truth Talks. And I hope you'll join me weekly. I'm hoping that I can reach you parents and grandparents. I also hope to reach teachers that are in the public school education, elementary school, high school, even those in higher levels of education, as well as medical and mental health professionals who are struggling out there under some of the training. And I know that many of them have had re-education according to LGBTQ indoctrination into our schools. And that's very disturbing. There's been a lot of pressure on teachers, particularly, as well as parents, to comply to what is being taught, what our children are hearing each day in the classroom. So that's one area that I want to really spend a lot of time on. I've also written several books. My own personal history, my family history, is one of pedophilia that I talk about in Damaged by the Predators Among Us. And that really is what has inspired me throughout my career, throughout my life, really to stand for children and to help me. That's why I went back to school. I didn't go back into higher education, even doing my bachelor's, until I was 38 years old. So I'm a little old to start all this stuff, but in one sense, but it gives me the perspective of some maturity and a greater understanding into developmental issues with children and various things. So I think I'll bring a pretty good perspective to a wide range of people. So I actually got more involved and I would say became somewhat more than an advocate, but an activist over the last 5 to 6 years. And that actually happened. I'd written two books previously, A Deep Impact, which is on complex trauma. And then I wrote a book called Closing the Floodgates, Setting the Record Straight on Gender and Sexuality. And I had this naive idea that if I just wrote truth and delivered it to politicians, very naive. Anyways, that they would read and see truth, because it was heavily researched. It wasn't my opinion. And they would respond. I mean, did I say I was naive? Like about 3 times. Exactly. Because, of course, that didn't happen. To by and large, I did have some responses, good responses. But it seemed to me that politicians really had their hands tied behind their backs. And then I decided there was an opening for me to run federally in my own riding. So I was encouraged to do that. And I applied. I went through the application process. Everything was rubber stamped. It's good to go. And I started campaigning. And that only lasted for 5 weeks. I was gaining a lot of traction because one place I wanted to go, I wanted to wake up the church. So I'm a Christian believer. But I thought, why don't I start by talking to Christians and telling them what's happening and what's going on? And so, and the fact that I was seeing that Canada was losing its freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association. And so that was kind of my platform when I began to campaign. And I said, it lasted all 5 weeks before the Conservative Party of Canada disallowed me. They disallowed me from running, and from my understanding, it was because of my book, Closing the Floodgates. And they were concerned that I might be a complication, that I might be a media problem for them. And it's like, oh, so that woke a lot of people up in our riding. They were already, the Conservatives in our riding were already kind of like, wow, things are not what they seem in Ottawa, and we need someone to speak. So I thought, this is great, but I was disallowed from speaking. And so that really pushed me forward into a whole lot of other things, which included activism on behalf of our children. So I was talking to a group of individuals, and they are my board members, actually, and we decided that we would change the name from the ministry that I had before and change this to Restoring the Mosaic, because what they saw and what I was doing was actually educating politicians and people that would listen, but particularly professionals in the area of verifiable research. And so we changed the name from Redeem to Restore to Restoring the Mosaic in 2018, I think it was. And so I've been doing this for a little while, and kind of behind the scenes, though, and kind of just not struggling along, but putting out a newsletter and doing various things and connecting with people, mostly online, but then through public speaking events. So it's been busy. It's a whole lot busier these days, but I really enjoy it. And my passion for education and teaching means that I get to present Truth Talks. And that's why finally we decided to do a professional podcast on Truth Talks. So it's been a journey. I find that the further I go on this journey, the more activism I'm actually involved in, which was not something I ever thought that would happen. I was quite happy sitting in my office, just one-on-one with individuals or couples or families. I'm actually deep at heart an introvert. So it's been a stretch. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years. But it's been a journey, as all of our lives are. And what I'm seeing now is actually there is a turnaround happening. There's a change because people are actually beginning to become aware of what's happening in our education system with our children particularly, but even the whole aspect of political interference in our lives. So it's been quite an interesting time. So for about 3 years, I was, after I wrote Closing the Floodgates, then I was involved in doing some research and providing political briefs on the issue of conversion therapy that was kind of coming out of nowhere. The bylaws municipally and then provincially and then, of course, federally, that has become a criminal offense to help someone that comes to you with struggle sexually, if they're homosexual or lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, for instance. It's not an offense to help a heterosexual individual, but it is to help a same-sex attracted individual who does not want to continue in their sexual behavior, or they want to minimize, or they want to minimize pornography, for instance, we can't help them. So I just felt that that was very discriminatory. And so I spent about 3 years working to see that not come about. And unfortunately, it has become a law in Canada, which leads us to this point where now we're at a place where teachers are converting children almost daily in our classrooms across this nation. So it seems, looking back in hindsight, that the propulsion to actually have conversion therapy, which I've actually never witnessed and never seen or heard of, experienced, other than from very radical LGBT people who claim they have experienced something like this. Now, I want to clarify that. I do have a friend who in Australia did experience conversion therapy, I would say, at the hands of a psychiatrist in a hospital. She was, electroshock therapy was applied. It was horrific. But this hasn't been done for decades. And so why was that all happening now in Canada? So it just kind of went, okay. But now we're seeing, because we're no longer as clinicians or pastors to pray with someone if they come for prayer and saying, I'm having these feelings and thoughts that I don't want to have. People aren't allowed to do that. That's huge government overreach. So that's kind of what really, then after that went through federally, that law went through, I've been writing. That's been my passion ever since, because I just cannot stop telling the truth. Sometimes I want to put it aside and say, no, I'm tired. And yet this is this fire within me that propels me. I will speak almost anywhere I'm invited. So I have done mostly, this is before, this is on this journey in the area of children and education to the general public. I taught at colleges before, prior when I was in private practice. So now I tend to speak at churches. I'm speaking in September, early September, mid-September, at in Manitoba, to a group of individuals, and I'm going to be talking. I'm speaking alongside several other people who are, I would say, freedom fighters, and I'm going to be talking about The Ultimate Deception, which is the title of my last book that isn't quite published yet, the Dangers of Gender-Affirming Care. So just within the last, I would say within the last 8 to 10 months, in Canada, we have been seeing a real turnaround. There has been, after all these years of trying to reach parents particularly, but churches, pastors, wherever, I have seen parents all of a sudden waking up. And that's because others have become bolder in talking about it. So we have kind of friends all over Canada that are speaking about these things. One of the primary individuals that speaks a lot on the area of sex education, and that's actually what got her fired from her other job. She was a broadcaster. Anyways, her name's Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, and a group of us connected together. And so we support one another, but Laura Lynn Live is her program, and she has reached thousands across Canada, and she continues to reach out and to speak on these issues. We also, as a group of women, and Laura Lynn is one of them, created a group called Mama Bears. And, you know, that was in 2018 as well. And for a couple of years, we did some conferences and workshops, but it was falling on deaf ears, and we were kind of frustrated until just recently. And now it's like there's been this huge resurgence. So Mama Bears is certainly has certainly resurfaced, and we are doing a lot more. The other area that's very interesting to me, and this is so brand new, is that I was in Calgary in June, and I was doing several speaking engagements while I was there. And when I arrived, I got an email saying that there was a protest at City Hall. Now, people who knew me 10 years ago would never have thought I would be out protesting. Anyways, I looked at it and I said to my husband, we have to be there. And it was a protest against LGBTQ indoctrination, radical LGBTQ indoctrination in our public education. And so I went down. This protest was led by Muslims. It was for all faith groups, no faith. Anyone that wanted to come that believed that parents should have the right and responsibility to raise their children in accordance with their views and values. So we all came together. Well, there were maybe between 300 and 500 people there. And I think it was one of the first ones that had been done. I showed up. No one knew me there. Of course, I'm from Ontario. This was Calgary. Excuse me. And right away, I met the organizer. His name is Mahmoud. I have a hard time pronouncing Mahmoud Mori. And he's a lovely man. And so my husband and I were talking to him, and all of us, and he didn't know me. And so I shared a little bit about what I do and what I'm about. And he looked at me and he said, will you speak? And I was taken aback. I mean, most people kind of go, I don't want to hear about this. They're quite happy to keep their eyes closed and live in the darkness around them, because facing the light, facing truth, is a challenge. So, because it means they're challenged to do something about it. So I was kind of shocked, and I said, of course I will. Well, I didn't know that I'd be the first speaker. And then after several other speakers, I went again and spoke for a few minutes. I felt so welcomed, so included. And there were Muslims and Christians and all kinds of other people there. There were trans activists on the other side. So I think, you know, that really has opened up a whole new thing, because within the last 2 weeks, we have, across Canada, there's a momentum starting, and it's called 1 Million March for Children. And it is, once again, begun by the Muslim community, inviting people of all faiths, no faiths, freedom fighters, whomever, who sees the issues, has their eyes open to what's happening to our children, to come out and to protest. So there's many different connections. And I'm going to be sharing some of those over the next several weeks, because I'm going to be interviewing some of those people and some of their important, very, very important ideas and thoughts on this whole issue of sexualizing our children. So you're going to hear from a lot of different people over the next several weeks. Yes, so coming up, like I said, in early September, I am in Manitoba with several other like-minded speakers. And then that's the 13th of September. Then, of course, the 20th of September, I will be in Ottawa with other like-minded. So our Mama Bear group will be there. There's a lot of groups coming together along with Muslims. And so that's September 20th. I'll get back from Ottawa. I think I have a week kind of to stabilize. I have some speaking, other speaking engagements just locally. But then I head to Texas on, I better not say the exact date. I'm not sure. I think it's the 23rd of October, and I'll get the exact date for you. I've been invited to speak at a conference for Legacy Coalition, which is a grandparenting group in the U.S. The conference is being held at Tony Evans's church in Texas. There are several other very prominent speakers, so I'm very privileged to present. And I'm going to be presenting on the dangers of gender-affirming care. to a large group of people. And if your church is interested in connecting and live streaming this, then just get in touch with me and I'll help you do that. It's going to be a powerful, powerful conference. So that's up until, I think that's the 23rd. And then I think on the 28th of October, I'm in Poland and I'm going to be attending a conference and connecting with other like-minded individuals, mostly therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, trauma counselors, lawyers, and a couple of pastors. But we come together internationally, so there's quite a good group of us, and get to rub shoulders and to share what's going on in our own countries with LGBTQ and what the radical agenda that is happening. And then I'll be home to do stuff more locally in November and December. So let's talk about Truth Talks now. Over the next several weeks, and this is going to continue as long as I can continue doing this, we are going to be doing interviews. I think that's a primary way to get the word out of what is happening in our locales, in our nation, in Canada, but also around the world. So I'm going to have different individuals that are coming on. So the next episode, Mama Bears, there's five of us going to be talking together. So get ready for that. It'll be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that one. The following week, I'm going to be interviewing Grant Abraham. Grant Abraham, I met in 2022, and he was running politically for the Conservative Party in Alberta. And he also was disallowed, and it just is very frustrating. So he has actually written a book recently. It just came out. It's a fabulous book called Battle for the Soul of Canada. It is a must read. So we're going to be talking about that. And he's going to be talking about politics, folks, and the good, the bad, the ugly of it. He shares very openly and what he sees as a need for Canada. So that's coming up. After that, a good friend of mine named Jordash, I'll just give you his first name for now. He lives in Vancouver, and he is going to be talking about biblical sexuality. He has been researching for years. He's an amazingly brilliant man. So that takes us out kind of till the end of September. So, and I'll have lots more coming after that. So in closing today, I do want to read a really, really good article that was posted on The Messy Christian. I think this is really, it really explains the need for truth in our society. So let me read this to you. When my daughter was little, sometimes she would sneak into bed with us. One night, she was restless as she lays there. How many of you parents have had this happen? I could tell she wasn't asleep, even though it was pitch black. And as it is for most mothers, I couldn't fall asleep till she did. Her slightest move kept me awake. And then came the whispers. Mom? Yes, I whispered back. What's that? She answered, pointing with her finger to the ceiling. The menacing creature on the ceiling. Surely it was a five-legged beast that had come to watch her sleep. It's a ceiling fan, I giggled. Oh, I thought it was a monster. And then she drifted off to sleep. I lay there with a big smile on my face, thinking how sweet and silly she is to think of such a thing. But the darkness can do that. It twists the truth. Because darkness thrives on lies. Darkness can dull our vision and shroud a clear mind. It can bring our greatest fears to realization. Left to our own devices, darkness can keep those fears right in front of us, paralyzing us. The longer we sit there in the dark staring at something, the more menacing it becomes. I think you probably have all done that. I've done that. You know, things bump in the night. But truth spoken in the darkness begins to shed light And that's what this is all about. I'm not saying that all of a sudden all of the darkness will disappear, but truth is our greatest weapon against it. So if you're sitting in the dark, being fed lies, reach out and grab hold of the truth. Grab a hold of the one who came as truth personified and light magnified. Grab a hold of his words and speak it into the darkness. We can fight our fears with the truth of who we are and who we belong to. We can put a name to what scares us. Let the light of Jesus reveal it for what it is, a creation made possible by the darkness. We were not created to wallow in darkness, gripped by fear. We were created to walk in truth and live in light. That doesn't mean we won't ever find ourselves in a dark place. Sometimes that happens. It means that when we do, we have to reach out to the light. We have to cling to truth. We have to wield our weapons against it, because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. I really thank you once again for listening today. And thank you for your support. Please, please feel free to register on any of the platforms that you're watching this on. I would love to hear from you. And I will talk with you very soon again, next week, in fact. Check out my website at restoringmosaic.ca, and I post a pretty regular newsletter there. And then check out my books. So I have 5 books published. 1 new one is coming. And I really encourage you to share this with your friends who are truth seekers. Let's also be truth speakers.
You've been listening to Truth Talks with Dr. Rann. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can find Ann's books, blog, and sign up for the newsletter by going to restoringthemosaic.ca.